Well, that's nice that you still have empathy, even though you can kind of see through the cracks and that everything's bullshit, basically.
Well, that's the only thing that keeps me from shooting you motherfuckers up, man, is I have to maintain my humanity. That's my personal rules. I got to maintain my humanity.
And by you
and
motherfuckers,
a long drive.
Everybody? And a long drive.
TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head. Konnichiwa, bitches! And welcome back to the latest edition of My Is Ichiban. As always, Bodies Board is brought to you by the good folks with ChairShot Radio Network in conjunction with TheChairShot.com. Always use your head. And make sure you...
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
What the hell is that, broad? Anywho, make sure you use your head and you go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot and pick up your official, like a referee's whistle, chair shot merchandise. Go get you a chair shot shirt. Be cool before it's cool. Be part of the cool kids. Be part of the in crowd, folks, and go pick up your chair shot swag, baby. Anywho, my name is Christopher Platt, and as always, I have the great distinction, in quotation marks, of being joined by the one, the only, Mr. Andrew Balazs.
Wow, no nicknames this time. You're really on this Ichiban number one, you know, Konnichiwa bitches vibe, aren't you?
You just had to make sure that you let the people know that you knew that Ichiban meant number one, huh? You just had to throw that in there, huh?
A little bit, maybe. Everybody knows that, though.
I'm not sure, but, you know, well, our fans do because why? Because they're smarter than the average wrestling fan.
Oh, you hit that like the bumper, too. That was really good. That was smooth.
Well, that's what I was going for, and you just screwed it all up. So, thanks.
How did I put you over more so than you already were? It's good. But,
you're beating a dead horse, man. You're stating the obvious, sir.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Jeez, I can't even be nice to you. See, this is why I'm smug, because it just works better that way. You know to expect smug, that way I don't have to be nice.
Well, the issue is, even when you're trying to be nice, you still come across like a smug asshole. So it's just your nature, man. It's just your way, as the old folks say. Just your way.
Uh-huh. So this is like He-Man? Something like Skeletor? Like, I am not nice!
I think you got about like 176 pounds on Skeletor, though. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. You'd be more like Man of Arms.
At least you didn't say Beast Man. I'm okay with that.
No, you're right. I should have went Beast Man. You
I know. Right. Hey, you missed it. Oh. You missed it. It's good.
And that great sound came from our moderator, Mr. PC Tunney.
Greetings and salutations.
Salutations and greetings.
Ah, see what he did there? He took your line.
Well, I left it out there, man. Somebody had to say it, so whatever.
Oh, how magnanimous of you.
I have my moments, unlike you.
True. You win.
Yes. Just chug a little bottle or a little swig of your pocket pint, and we'll keep it moving like an escalator.
I butt chug salt water all the time. Thank you. Thank you for that.
He said chug. He said chug.
Jesus. You find any excuse to throw
it's
that
one half of the name of the soundbite.
Oh, I beg your pardon, boss.
I didn't know you named it. you called it butt chug?
Chug salt water all the time.
Yes, butt chug. It's called butt chug.
That's
it. So, boss, other than butt chugging your salt water, how you feel this week?
Pop.
Well, hey, you know, it's been keeping me nice and clear. I haven't been sick since that time. So that salt water is really doing a good job on the system. Like,
Well, shout out to saltwater enemas then, I suppose. I think we are on to something.
Oh, we should trademark that or something like that. The official chair shot enema. And then we can come up with a colostomy bag and all this other stuff. Like, it's a market that I don't think anybody has yet.
It's a whole new meaning to chair shot.
Hey!
I don't know what came over me. Maybe I got too emotional. I'm very, very sorry for what I did to AJ Styles. Sorry, no speak English.
Gentlemen, you heard it to open the show. The Shinsuke Nakamura remix. Thoughts?
Ichiban,
oh, that part was right. That part was right. Okay. Jeez. Sugoi desu ne?
I wasn't making fun of Asians, man. I was making fun of the rap, man. Why are you cutting that out?
Because he's Asian.
And what that got to do with the price
your
of rice?
Your initial reaction, as soon as it would happen, is like, what language is that? You thought it was like some kind of like alien hieroglyphic kind of like, you don't even know what it was. And I'm like, it's Japanese. He's Japanese. It's the gimmick. And you're like, I don't know about that. So then we had to get to the actual.
Number one, why do you make me sound like some Southern Baptist preacher? Let's lay, you know, first and foremost.
You did that last week. You did that glory hallelujah. Give your money. Send it to Chair Shot at Pro Wrestling Tees. We can give you the blue. We can give you the red. Brothers and sisters, just get one before you're dead.
That was good, actually. That was good, man. I like it. I want to contribute to your chair shot, chair plate, or collection plate, rather. Yeah,
like
that's pretty good.
Better. Did you imagine passing
chair shot, chair plate? But initially, I thought it was just some bootleg Limp Bizkit band trying to rap. Like, I didn't even realize that it was a foreign language. I was also inebriated at the time, so there's that. But, yeah. I'm all here for a Hillsuke. So if they think they're going to have a fake Japanese Limp Bizkit come out and play him to the ring, that's going to help him get more heel heat, I'm here for it. I'm all here for it.
I mean, it's beautiful because I don't know if you saw it because I don't know what vines or what threads you frequent, but one of the Facebook groups I'm in, they actually had a screenshot of somebody on WWE.com complaining about the song. Because his reaction was, we used to like it. We used to be able to sing to it. Now you got all this stuff that people don't understand. Why would you do that? Why would you ruin the song? And then I think he actually put the words, it's rude to make the song in a language that not that many people
like,
he's a fucking heel. No shit, it's rude. That's the gimmick. He doesn't want you singing along. That's why it's in Japanese. Get the fuck over yourself, idiot. What the hell?
Well, we had a lot of idiot Americans chiming in about the WWE this week, but maybe we'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. But I've already said it. I'm going to say it again. I'm all in on Hillsuke. So if this is what it takes to make him a heel, and apparently, according to your Facebook group, you and a bunch of other hard legs in that particular group, somebody got a little butthurt about it. So it's working.
No, it is. It's funny. It is really funny how like the littlest things just set off so many people who think they're smart fans. And I mean, this isn't Shinsuke, but it's SmackDown. So I also made the comment about Asuka because she technically lost her second match in a row. So on Twitter, I tweeted something along the lines of, oh my God, Asuka's getting buried. That's two in a row. And then I'm like, please, please don't do that, IWC. Be better than that. In that same Facebook group, I saw somebody start up a thread about what are they doing with Asuka? Now she's just like everybody else and she's like her career's over or something like that. I mean, O'Dowd replied to it being a funny, smarky bastard that he is, basically saying her career's over. So shout out to O'Dowd being a smug prick just like myself. But but either way, like, there's people that actually think that. Like, two losses in a row is a burial. Changing the lyrics is suddenly, like, a crime against humanity. Like, where the hell do these people live? Like, Platt, do you live near these people?
Well, if we're being honest, I probably do. I'm down in Atlanta, so I probably do. But, I mean, if we're being honest, there's, like, 10 metropolitan areas in America, and I probably couldn't even get to 10. What is it? New York, LA, San Francisco, Atlanta, Miami, Chicago, Houston. I'll throw DC in there. That's 8. I can't even get to 10. The rest of this Melon Farmer is the cast of Roseanne, so I'm not really surprised about their reactions to this.
Roseanne's a good show, though. Like, we got to put that over. Like, that new season's actually pretty fucking awesome.
Eh.
As in, you just not watching it or you just not feeling it?
Well, no, I watched the first couple of episodes and I wasn't mad at it. Like, I actually thought it was a good show. I just haven't had a chance to keep up with it. There's not a whole lot of shows that I do keep up with. That's just kind of my life at this point. So, yeah, I'm not burying Roseanne. I'm burying America. That's what I'm going for here.
Oh, no. They're supposed to kind of represent that middle America, like lower middle class kind of little better than trailer park trash kind of mentality. So I get what you're saying. I definitely understand it.
But that's the majority of this Melon Farmer. Like, I've traveled across this nation, you know, from sea to shining sea, man. That's what it is. Like, you know, that's where we are. So I can understand them being a little off-putted by a Japanese rapper rapping in Japanese to the Shinsuke beat, and they have no idea that they're actually getting worked in playing right into WWE's hands. That's the funny part about it.
Yeah, you know, it would be funny also if that person was purposely sent to send that stupid message. That would be sad, but it'd be funny at the same time.
You can't say not. I mean, you know what I mean? You can't say, because I'm of the, you know, in the beginning of the internet era, I thought that there was no way that they'd be able to maintain kayfabe because there was just so much information out there. But now I'm under the belief, and I've said this before on this show, I'm under the belief that we know less now than we've ever known, because there's so much misdirection and so much misinformation and hashtag fake news and everything out there. It's so easy to work us at this point. So I'm as an analyst, it sucks because I'm supposed to come on these airwaves every week and be able to talk intelligently about the product, but I don't know what's going on. So, but as a fan, it's great because I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's an odd catch 22, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm not going to worry about it, man. I'm just going to be a fan and pray that my charm is enough to get me through.
Yeah, it works so far, right?
Yeah, yeah. My girlfriend's hot, so. There's that.
Next question. Let's not go down the rabbit hole.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Oh, before PC, you get into question two, I do have to clarify something, because at the beginning of the show, I said, who is that broad? That broad is actually my lady. So I was basically just trolling my lady because I know she's going to listen to this and I'm going to get heat about this later on. So ladies, don't think I was trying to play you. I love you. Keep listening.
Phoenix and Ostinarius, are you ready?
Porque yo soy Pentagon Jr.
Tonight, Pentagon Jr., Phoenix, Ostinarius. Setting the course for the new Impact Wrestling. And whoever walks out the world champion tonight will be the man to lead the charge. We all know there's only one man for that job, and you're looking at him.
Who leaves Redemption tonight with the world's championship?
Question two. Impact Wrestling. Reaction to Redemption.
Nice. Nice alliteration.
Well, I am an advocate.
Hey, Vey. Okay, more alliteration. Anyway.
Really? You're going to get mad at alliteration? You're going to be smug for alliteration, really? You didn't like Dr.
Did
Seuss
not
as a kid?
Follow what I said, oy vey, okay. That's alliteration within itself.
It is. It just wasn't good. Like, you're better.
It's not like, you know, being the advocate for the administration that allocates alliteration all across America.
No. By the way, I had a Jesus Christ joke in there, and I decided not to pull it. Just so you guys know, I do have a filter. I do.
So, speaking of Jesus Christ and redeeming people, how about Impact and their redemption? There's a fucking question for you.
That's a fucking awesome question, actually. Like, that's a great segue, PC.
Well, keep it going.
Redemption was actually a really fucking good pay-per-view. Did you get a chance to watch any of it, Blatt?
I didn't, man. I'm not even going to lie to you, man. I've heard nothing but good things about it, though.
In my general assessment, because I've lost track of it for the last couple of years a little bit, but it had to be like their best pay-per-view in about 5 years.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Solid wrestling from beginning to end. Sure, there were some weird, sloppy spots with the top rope because the luchadors that had to do springboards for some reason could not keep their balance. So it started off with Aerostar and Drago, and Aerostar like tripped and slipped so many times towards the end of the finish that it made the match look a little sloppy, but it still wasn't a bad match. And then Phoenix being as smooth as butter, like he slipped a bunch of times, but he kind of made it look like it was a long setup for his move because he likes to, you know, go down to the second rope and then jump back up and go to the top rope, then do his move. So he was just bouncing up and down, be it between the turnbuckle or walking the ropes, slipping, but bouncing. So he saved it. He made it look good. But either way, we had a couple title changes. We had really good wrestling. And one of the more surprising spots to me, which you didn't see it, but you could probably imagine this. So just wrap your head around it for a second.
I think I know where you're going, but go right ahead.
Is Scott Steiner pulling off a top buckle Frankensteiner for the first time in, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, I think?
I did see that, and it looked like, I saw the way he landed, and if he had a neck, he would have broken it.
I mean, but for as old as he is, he landed that fine, because he landed more or less on his chest. Like, he didn't land right on his neck, you know what I mean?
It looked like he landed on his head. I'm not going to lie. The highlight or the clip that I saw, it looked like he landed directly on his head. That's why I said if he had a neck, he would have broke it. I mean, it's impressive. A guy his age can still pull that off, and his best days are 12 years behind him at least. So it's still impressive, but that landing made me cringe a little bit. It was cringeworthy.
What was more cringeworthy? Steiner's landing on the Frankensteiner, or the way that Ortiz sold it?
His landing.
Really?
Yeah, because I mean, it literally looked like
selling was ridiculous.
It looked like he hit head first. So, you know, from a non-kayfabe aspect, I was legitimately worried about Scott Steiner. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man, you probably shouldn't be doing that at your age.
Well, to be fair, I watched him land first, and the fact that he landed kind of like on the front of his face or like his chest kind of area, he landed that about as well as you could expect him to land it. He's not Matt Sydal. He's not going to pull it off crisp and then like land on his stomach or on his feet or something like that.
Like a Brock Lesnar shooting star press.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the
corollary. That's the same vibe that I got. He obviously landed that better because he wasn't screwed up like Brock was, but that's the corollary.
Sure, I get what you're saying. It didn't look as bad, but it's still...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Anyway, but still, we had one of the better matches that happened all of last week, and one of the better matches that happened most of this year was the three-way with Pentagon, Phoenix, and Austin Aries. Like, that was pretty awesome. Did you see any clips of it, even though you didn't see the whole show?
I haven't yet. Again, I've heard great things about it. I can't see those three guys as good as they are in the ring having a bad match. So I am going to, at some point in time, go back and check it out. Perhaps after the show, which is counterproductive, but yet here we are.
Look at you having a life and not watching wrestling. What is your problem?
Just the one. How much time you got?
I don't know. It's starting to get late. Let's not take too much time on that one.
No, I'm just saying Freud couldn't unpack all my baggage.
Oh, boy. Okay, yeah. Let's not go there. So let's continue talking about Impact. And since we were talking about the championship match and how the finish was Pentagon went over, which surprised everybody and their brother, especially the way the finish happened. He had a nice combination gory special and package pile driver. It was beautiful. Like, you know what the gory looks like because you've seen Chavo and Eddie Russell, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was nice because he had the Phoenix and the gory. He put Austin in the package pile driver, came down at the same time. They both hit. Then he finished it off with the Pentagon driver. And Aries lost the title. That was really, really surprising. But now, slight spoiler, because we all know that Impact likes to film like 3 months ahead of time. So we already know what they're going to do until like June at the moment.
So, full disclosure, if you don't like spoilers, fast forward about 5-10 minutes so you won't hear this, okay?
Right.
And yeah, and if you want to listen to it, go fuck yourself. So go on.
So what I was getting at was, it looks like, now it happens on like the fourth or fifth episode that they're filming, but it looks like Aries gets the title back. I know a lot of people have been up in arms about this as soon as it was spoiled, because I guess because it feels like it was only like 2 days after the fact. So they're just like, oh, that was a short-lived run. But it's technically a month in you know, storyline time. Plus, Eli Drake tries to cash in his world title shot briefcase and Pentagon beats him. So it's not like Pentagon doesn't get in a couple defenses too. So how do you feel about Pentagon dropping it in roughly a month's time?
Well, first and foremost, anytime I hear Eli Drake's name, I automatically think Drake Maverick, and it's a cluster for me.
That's not good.
No. Now, as far as Pentagon,
Drake Maverick, what's your problem?
Fair enough. You're right. That's fair. But as far as Pentagon winning the title, that's wrestling booking 101. I mean, you know, as far back as I can remember, whenever you have to have it's that whole card is subject to change thing. So whenever you have to change the card and you have to insert somebody in at the last minute, conventional wrestling booking dictates that they are going to win the match. That whole anything can happen type gimmick. You understand what I'm saying? So that's typically
a fantastic point. You're completely right. Yeah.
That's typically what happens in professional wrestling. That's, again, that's booking 101. So I'm kicking myself because I didn't pick him to win or pick one of those guys to win. So I'm kicking myself because I know better. But that's neither here nor there at this point. I don't think I got any predictions right on that card, but whatever. Who cares? But yeah, so that being said, I'm not surprised that Austin Aries got the title back because they clearly have a plan and they're clearly going somewhere with him. So of course he has to get the title back. They just did that because they had to change the main event. Like, that was just, you know, kind of booking on the fly. Like I said, I've heard nothing but great things about this pay-per-view. The problem with me is the in-ring product, the wrestling, and the talent has never been the problem with TNA, Impact, OPP, ADD, TORR, TNA, TNI, CNI, urinary tract infection. Like, that has never been the problem with them whatsoever. They have always consistently had great talent and put on a great in-ring product. Mm-hmm. Some of the booking left you to be desired, but that's anywhere.
True.
My thing with them is, what are you doing?
With
like, huh? Oh, me with Harmon. DNA, OPP, Harmon.
La la la, la 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 la.
Yeah. La la. Shout out to OPP Wrestling, by the way, you know? Yes. Other people's pockets. It's Dixie Carter.
Now shout out to those wrestling other people's pussy as well.
And then it was,
you know, at least Platt saved it for like a slightly PG thing with other people's podcasts, which that was a beautiful change. That was nice. And then you had to actually say, come on, you're better than that, moderator.
You don't have any relatives with cats and you go over there and wrestle with their cats?
Yeah, PC's got like 26 pussies at his house. He's like Hugh Hefner.
Why would you wrestle with cats?
I was trying to bring it back to make it PC. Get it?
Top. Hey! Top. But yeah, I don't understand what they're doing right now at all. It just seems like, okay, we're taping up in Canada. We're taping 18 shows in one day, and we're just going to keep doing this until we figure something else out. I don't see any goals or any direction with the product.
Actually, Platt, just so we're clear, they've been filming in Orlando since, like, January.
Who gives a shit, man? They could be filming in Siberia in Timbuktu. They could be filming in my courtyard right now. It doesn't matter, man. The
you
fact that
watch it?
I kind of would have to, because you see a bunch of sweaty, oily men in Speedos rolling around in your courtyard. You kind of want to know what the hell's going on,
they've
right?
They've got knockouts, too. You've got Allie, you got Sue Young, you got Rosemary, and they just got Tessa Blanchard at Redemption. So, Tessa Blanchard.
Yeah, I'd like to maintain my relationship. Thank you very much.
Then okay, I'll come visit then. If I get a shot, Blanchard, I'm visiting your ass.
No. You stay on Facebook with your old, with your little hard legs and your 675 all male group, okay? And you talk about how Asuka's getting buried and hey, you hate Shinsuke's music.
I never said she. Wow, that's not me that says it. That's the other idiots.
The other 677, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Now you got it.
All right, cool. Yes, but you're there. you're guilty by association, my friend.
That makes us all guilty by association because we're all part of the internet wrestling community.
I can't argue that, man. I can go down with the ship.
I don't want to go down with the ship, though.
I'm that dude on Titanic that, hey, man, we're drowning. I'm just going to keep playing my violin.
I'm the dude on the fucking door going, there's more room. Move over, bitch.
Pretty much. Rose was a bastard for that, man. They could have fit on that Mill of Armor. It's a life or death situation. You're just going to let the Mill of Armor die. And then you got this big ass rock that's worth a gazillion dollars. And you're just going to throw it in the ocean right before you die. That's selfish as fuck. Fuck you, lady. You're selfish. You're selfish. You're selfish. I don't care about your story. It's not romantic. You came there with one guy. You fell in love with another. You know what that makes you? That makes you a whore. She's a whore.
That's right. You leave with the person that brought you to the dance. You don't hoe around. You don't get naked in some kind of car while somebody's painting you or drawing you. What the hell? What the hell? And then you can die.
My lady would pose naked for some random dude on a ship.
Did you just say you wish she would?
You understand what I meant, man. The other black ones do understand.
No, I know. I understood it, too. I just wanted to make sure I heard you. Oh, Christy's right. We gotta give Tugboat his due.
Fair enough. Like, Tugboat. But, yeah, but back to Impact, man. Yeah, I don't know what direction they're going in, and I don't think they know what direction they're going in. They're just going to keep taping and keep having shows until they figure something out. The biggest concern with Impact, and that's the biggest concern with a lot of these indie promotions, there's not a whole lot of star power out there that's not connected to the E, because you need somebody that's going to move the needle, and there's not a whole lot of needle movers out there. That's why I understand them bringing in Scott Steiner, but is Scott Steiner really going to be, as much as I love him, is he really going to be a needle mover in 2018? I can't really see that happening.
I mean, with how much the indies are just blossoming, like people like Brian Cage, Tessa Blanchard, Pentagon and Phoenix are huge. Pentagon and Phoenix have been on so many American shows like in the last month, it's kind of ridiculous.
I love them both, but let me ask you this, man. Take your smart cap off and look at it through the eyes of just a mainstream American or just a mainstream viewer. Who on the TNA roster are you going to pay money to see?
Eli Drake.
You're going to pay money to see Eli Drake. You think there's another farmer saying, hey, Eli Drake's coming to my town, man. Take my money. You think that's happening?
You said if. So who on that roster, if they build it up to be something that's actually legitimate, because they're still in the shadow of TNA and the garbage that was. So if they actually start getting a footing with the hardcores, which is who they're appealing to now, the person that can bring in casual fans is easily Eli Drake. He's got the look, he can talk, he's like some kind of combination of like Stone Cold and The Rock, and he's got pretty
pretty damn good in ring skills. So he is who you hitch your wagon to when you want to start appealing to casual fans. But first, they kind of got to make up to people that they're not just going to continue to shit the bed and just do the TNA thing. You know what I mean?
That's fair. I can't argue with that assessment, man. He is the guy. I mean, no EC3, no Lashley. He would be the next in line. So I can't argue with that. That's fair enough. I just, you know, in the immortal words of the poet laureate Sean Corey Carter, when it comes to TNA, OPP, ADD, Impact Wrestling.
Well, we don't believe.
No, stop. That's well, not good. We don't oh, no, stop, Jay. Need more people. Jay! I wonder if fucking Solange is going to beat your ass in the fucking elevator.
Stop.
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
Moderator, next topic.
You're right, bro. I don't know how I'm going to get back, but I do know one thing, St. Louis. I'm coming home with that title. And you can believe that.
Next topic. Question 3. Roman Reigns reactions. Rehearsed?
I'm proud of you.
I thought you were going to keep going. I'm not going to lie. That was pretty... You cut that off weird. That's like getting a hand job and not being able to finish. I know Balls and I, we talked about this off air. I didn't realize that this was a thing, but apparently there's some chattering among the IWC that WWF, or E rather, perhaps, possibly, maybe, but we really don't know, paid people to come into the arena and purposely cheer for Roman Reigns. Now, I don't know if that's a thing. I don't know if it's true. I will say this, however, when I was watching on Monday night, I was taken back by the amount of cheers that Roman received in the audience. Because, you know, typically it's what, 70-30 or maybe 80-20 boos to cheers? That's the ratio. Like, is that fair? Is that fair assessment?
I think the fair way to just quantify it would be women and children to grown men. Because usually when you hear a Roman interview or entrance, it's usually the high pitch, yay, and then the boo. So it's the grown men that are booing him and the women and the children that usually pop over. And then the grown men like to get themselves over more because they're man children.
Well, see, I can't even say that because that was the argument with Cena. But the Cena reaction was really 50-50 split down the middle. But when it comes to the Roman reaction, I feel as if the boos outweigh the cheers. Or are you saying because it's men and men just have deeper voices and are a little louder than women and children? Is that what you're saying?
I say more often than not, it's because the men will kind of just drown out the women and children. But I do agree with you that more often than not, there's more boos than cheers. But I think I feel it gets more slanted because of the guy versus higher pitched kind of voice issue.
So you use 65 words when a simple yes would have sufficed, huh?
I mean, I could have, but then that would have made you completely right. And I had to go 60-40 in how right you were. You see how that is?
No, asshole. You could have just said yes, and I could have continued with my point.
Yes, but that's not in my character. Gotta live the gimmick, you know?
Why don't you live the gimmick and mute yourself and drink your pocket pie? Anywho, so... Okay. But getting back to what I was saying, yes, I was shocked by the amount of cheers that Roman got that evening. Now, Balls, I know you weren't necessarily a fan of the segment, and you know the segment it was what it was. But well, go ahead, man. What? Go ahead. You've just kind of thrown me all off. So go ahead and say words now. Just say words.
I have done my job. I have made the velvet pipes unable to pipe. It is perfect for me.
Whoa. Let's get one thing clear, my friend. I can still pipe, all right? I got a little tongue-tied. And little... I can still pipe, all right?
So, yeah, I didn't really care, honestly, but after it got pointed out, yeah, they did cut to this small section of people that were popping harder than usual for Roman, and they used a couple different angles of the same section to make you
kind of think like that's a little odd that they knew this section would pop. So I don't know if they paid people to come in to just pop for Roman, or if it was just plants, like maybe it was just a bunch of indie guys or friends of the family that they paid and just go, yeah, everybody sit here near the hard cam, and when Roman comes out, cheer. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It sounds like a conspiracy theory thing, since everybody loves doing that with WWE, since Vince is out of touch, apparently, and nothing he does is ever right, and it can only be because of some grand miraculous plan that, you know, WWE, the machine, is trying to just shove down your throat one way or the other. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. The segment sucked. So it doesn't matter to me if there were plants or if they were actual fans or if Bayley snubbed some grown-ass man on a hug. It doesn't matter to me.
That was funny, by the way. That was hilarious. Because dude looked hella creepy. I would have snubbed him too.
He did. He looked thirsty and like neck beardy and creepy as hell. And then Bailey's just like, nope, and walks away. Like, that was nice. I like that one.
Shout out to her. That was the first time she had ever been over in this household.
Same. I mean, that is over. But, you know, that's the first time her as a character. She got a nice. Come on.
All right, if you're into the whole prepubescent thing, but whatever, man, it's your journey. But let me say this. There were a lot of...
That booty. Ugh.
Yeah. Anywho, there were a lot of audible boos, though, during the Heyman-Lesnar promo. Like, you didn't pick up on that?
I mean, there were eventually, because it's like the cheers started and then subsided, and then the boos kind of rang in. But it all seemed just so disinterested and disheartened, and it's just I don't even know what to feel. Like, even the boos for Roman or for Brock or whoever the heck it was for, it just seemed so half-assed. Like, people were just bored of that feud. Nobody wants it. Nobody cares.
Really? Because I thought of it as Paul Heyman, a master of his craft, putting in work and doing what he had to do to get boos. Like, you know, we've seen this with Jericho a lot. They'll come out and they'll chill Jericho, and then 2-3 minutes into the promo, the whole arena is booing him. I felt like this was just a master working. This was Picasso painting or Coltrane, you know, composing a song or whatever the case may be.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. I get what you're saying, but my problem with that is because, like, look at the way Elias does things. Elias gets people to pop by doing his shtick, and then he buries them in his song, or right before his song, or something like that, and then that's when the boos kick in. All of the boos kind of started resonating before Heyman hit points, and, I mean, we've been watching wrestling long enough to know when they're expecting people to react to a promo, and it didn't feel like it. It felt like they were reacting before, after, at just weird points, and it made Heyman come off a little stilted, and it just made that whole thing just awkward. And then that was probably Roman's worst promo, even though it was like 7 words.
Like,
it was
his worst promo
in like 6 months.
Come on, man.
It was his worst promo in like 6 months.
Come on, man. And I took it total opposite, man. I took it as in whatever the WWE is doing is working, trying to make Brock this ungrateful dude that doesn't care about the fans and he's only here for money. I took it that way. Like, the story that they're trying to tell is actually working.
I would have agreed with you a couple weeks ago with whatever that crowd was where Roman walked out after the beatdown and he walked through the crowd and didn't have his intro music, and then people reacted naturally and organically to him coming out when people didn't expect him to be there. Like, that's when it kind of seemed like the story was working. But Roman Reigns is so polarizing. It depends on the city. And it's really, it's sad to say, but it's hard to get a good grasp on how well this story is actually working when it depends on the crowd they're working with.
Well, that's not true, because love and hate are the exact same thing. Like, they're two sides of the exact
same coin.
Yeah, and the opposite of love isn't hate. The opposite of love is indifference. So if when Roman came out, they were sitting on their hands and it was crickets, like it was when Jason Jordan first appeared as Kurt Angle's black son, then you have my argument and say, okay, Roman's not over. This isn't working. But the fact that he gets such a visceral reaction, rather positive or negative, whatever they're doing, it's clearly working.
It's working some way. I don't think it's working the way they want, but it's having a reaction. So I agree with you in the fact that something is happening with what they do, but it's not what they want. Because they want people to pop for Roman. They want him to be the next big thing. And everybody is relenting against that.
And well, so, I hate to break it to you, Princess, but I mean, the man has main evented the last four WrestleManias, and he's probably going to main event the next one as
what?
Well.
What do you mean, Princess? He's working. The Samoan sex machine to me. I coined that line. You think I hate Roman? You think I got a problem with the Samoan sex machine?
I'm mad it took you this long to fit that in to the show. But you got it in, and you said it like 11 times, so congratulations to you. Woohoo, get yourself over. But, I mean, it's obviously working. And I think WWE, for years now, man, they've been playing in that gray area. Like, that's what this is. I think people, this is a situation, and I've said this before on the podcast, I think sometimes people give WWE too much credit. I think other times they don't give them enough credit. And I feel like this is a scenario where people aren't giving them enough credit. They've been playing in that gray area for a while now. And I think it doesn't matter whether you boo, whether you cheer, the fact that he gets that reaction, I think that's the main thing. And it keeps people talking, and ultimately, I mean, they're making bread. They're about to make $100,000 on Friday. Or $100 million.
$100 million. I mean, yeah, I was about to say.
Friday. Yeah. So whatever they're doing is working. So, you know, there's that.
Good. Good. Let's hit the next topic. Like, good. No, that's fine. I got nowhere else to go with it. You made a good point. Let's end it there.
I always make good points. Do you listen when I talk?
Sometimes the pencil ain't always sharpened, buddy.
Shit. You speak for your own pencil, man. I got plenty of lead in mine.
This is Conrad Thompson from What Happened When Monday with Tony Schiavone and Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, and you're listening to the ChairShot Radio Network. And visit thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Camera two. Camera two. Camera two. Loki.
Loki grabs the chair and smacks it. We have a new tag team partner, Major League Wrestling, on BN Sports.
Question number four, MLW's premiere, first impressions.
Now, see, MLW is fun because that was actually something that I can use to forward the point about Impact, because MLW's premiere episode had all three players of the Redemption main event within the show. It started off with Austin Aries versus ACH, which is a fantastic match, and it ended with Phoenix versus Pentagon, which was the number one contenders match for the MLW title that is currently held by Shane Strickland. And
Swerve!
I was about to say, yes,
Swerve!
Swerve is fantastic. I was going to ask you how you feel about Swerve, but I'm guessing that kind of answers the question right there, doesn't it, Platt?
I don't know if he's big enough to be a main eventer, but I like him a lot. So, and I'm also, I got to give MLW props for putting their main title on a black guy. So, you know, kudos to them for that. So I'm not going to eat their lunch for that. I'm going to pop for that all day. I don't know if Swerve's the guy, but we'll see. And props to them. And
Swerve's got some pedigree, though.
Yeah.
He was the Wrestle King, the Wrestle Circus Ringmaster Champion, which is their big title. And then I think he lost it a little bit ago to Brian Cage, and now he's the MLW champion, which, and like, Swerve has been picking up gold in a lot of places that he goes to.
That's true. That's true. And if you guys watched their first, when MLW first came back, their first event where he fought my main man, Ricochet, they did a really good job of building that story. They did kind of the, kind of how HBO or Showtime or whomever before the big boxing match, they do the 24/7 or whatever they call it. I don't know. They that was the style, the documentary style that they did to kind of hype that matchup. And it really helped you to get it really helped you to buy into the storyline and get behind Swerve. So, you know, kudos to them for that. So and then they went on and put on a hell of a match, too.
Well, like, that was good.
Awesome in the ring. Yes.
No, definitely. And that was the good thing that MLW did for Fusion. Is that even though we got the Tony Schiavone Monday Nitro, we're out of time! And, you know, then the show was over after
the tape machines are running!
Exactly. even though he said we're out of time, they hit you with a preview like you were talking about, whereas like this, that 24/7, like almost like a Marvel Universe after the credits kind of scene where it was hyping this week's match between Swerve and Jimmy Havoc. I'm pretty sure it's Jimmy
Havoc. Yeah.
Yeah. And
he's awesome as well, by the way.
Yeah. Havoc had a nice promo in the middle of the show where he was basically talking about just bringing more blood to MLW, talking about Steve Corino and, you know, Dusty Rhodes and people that were known to be a little more bloody and violent and stuff like that. So it was nice the way he brought the MLW history into it, as well as the extreme aspect. But I'm pretty sure you've seen him a few times, and I'm curious what your take on him is. Barrington Hughes, how do you feel about this boy?
I love Barrington Hughes. I do. And I like the way that they're booking him. It's kind of that slow burn. It's very similar to how WWE treated Braun Strowman.
Yes.
It's a slow burn.
I was thinking.
He's a super heavyweight. He needs to go out and just kick ass for about 5-6 months straight. And before he even has a meaningful match or a meaningful feud. I like it. It's very old school in that way. And they're just building him. So I love it. And he's...
Oh, go finish.
And he's also got personality too, man. Like, I watched a little bit of their pre-show. They had Swerve, who's the champion, on there, and then they had Barrington Hughes on there as well. So I want to say he's one of the tent poles of MLW.
I was going to bring that up too, because he's like a more articulate sexual chocolate. Because he's what, the Caramel Colossus is one of his nicknames.
Yeah, pop.
And. They had the promo with him, and he's so articulate, and he's just got such a nice delivery and tone about himself, and it's so smooth. My only problem that I had with it, it's a nitpick and a half, and I'm gonna be the first one to admit I'm just being a nitpick.
Oh, wow, that's a surprise.
This is super nitpicky, but after he squashed the jobber, he got out of the match, he got out of the ring and said 3-0, bring me competition. Which is exactly what we heard Braun Strowman say for how long? Like 7 fucking months or whatever it was, right?
But it worked. So now he'll start having some handicap match. Like, yeah, you're saying it's repetitive. Is that what you're saying?
And the redundancy is
everything.
Obvious.
It's wrestling. Everything is redundant, man. I mean, life, everything is redundant. You go with what works. So eventually he'll start having, you know, handicap matches. He'll fight two guys and then three guys, and then maybe they'll throw four in there. And that's how they'll continue to build him until they, you know, get him to a point where maybe he can challenge for the world title or whatever it is that they're going to do with him.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Here's an interesting point that I want your take on. Do you like it, at least from the little bit of fusion I saw, and the fact that we know Shane Strickland is the champion, which I saw the match after their championship tournament or whatever that was between him and Matt Riddle that they loaded up to their YouTube. Like,
who's
that going to
be a star, by the way? Matt Riddle's going to be a star.
But that was a fantastic match. Like, that
Riddle's
going to
be a star.
That was one of the best matches I've seen all year so far. But do you think it's just interesting booking now? And I don't mean interesting because of getting a pop or getting some kind of rating, but just because of who they're utilizing? Or do you think that you could see MLW actually being a little more progressive in the fact that we had ACH, who's, you know, black, Barrington Hughes is black, their main champion is black? Do you see MLW being a little more dynamic in who they push and who they're going to present as their main eventers, especially since now we got number one contenders? We got Pentagon, who beat Phoenix, so, you know, a Mexican luchador. Like, you see a lot of diversity just in this first little glimpse into MLW.
Yes, because I think that you have to deal with the changing demographics of the country. And to WWE's credit, I mean, the top guy is a man of color, talking about Roman Reigns. So they understand that as well. But, yeah, I totally see that. You number one, when it comes to athletics, like, people of color are kicking ass all over sports. So it kind of adds to the realism of what they're trying to produce, because they're trying to portray this as a legitimate sport, which is one of the things that we've talked about offline that we both loved about WCW. And they're in that same lane. And it's kind of funny because they have Tony Schiavone there now as well. So I think that is something that they're going to do, because there's a lot of wrestling fans of color. And, you know, personally, as a wrestling fan of color, I feel like sometimes in the big leagues, they don't always cater to us, or they don't always acknowledge that we're there. And anytime that they do, it draws. Like, you know, when you had the SmackDown 6 back in the day with Eddie and Ray and Chavo and some other guys, man, they drew big in the Latino demographic, man. Black people, we grew up watching wrestling just like everybody else, man. We were Hulkamaniacs, and we loved Dusty Rhodes and Ultimate Warrior and all these melon farmers and Ric Flair. Hell, Ric Flair is now having a resurgence because he's being embraced by the hip-hop community because we all grew up loving Ric Flair. So he's having a whole new second act to his career. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So it's a... Yeah, so number one, it's a good business move because, you know, it broadens your horizons and it broadens the demographics that you could bring in into and the eyeballs that you can bring to your product. Plus, again, it adds to that realism, which is what they're trying to portray. And I'm all in on MLW. I'm not going to lie. I'm biased, obviously. I've actually had an opportunity to meet a lot of those guys, man. I've got a chance to top it up with MSL, who's a real cool dude, and he's one of the sharpest young minds in the business right now. Like, he sat under the learning tree of Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Kevin Sullivan. Like, he's studied under the greats. You know, so I'm excited that he's got an opportunity that we're
educate
he's at.
Me. Who is MSL?
Mr. Saint Laurent. He's an indie independent wrestler, but he's like the director of operations with MLW. Like, he's Bowers. He's Court Bowers' right hand man.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So just a little background of him. He's actually his grandfather was the Prime Minister of Canada. And he has basically devoted his whole life to the professional wrestling business. Like, he started out as a carny in the carnivals. You know what I mean? Just because that is the offshoot of professional wrestling. And then he's worked his way up. He's wrestled. He's done indie stuff. He's been an announcer. He's been a manager. He's booked promotions and this and that. And like I said, he studied under the learning tree of Kevin Sullivan, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash. Like, he's just a really sharp mind in the business. And really cool dude as well. And Court Bauer is a really sharp guy as well. He's got a lot of connections. He's got a lot of connections to a lot of talent. So I'm excited about the MLW product. So much so, I actually went out of my way last Friday and I added BN Sports to my cable package. So I'm going to pay an extra $5 a month to have BN Sports on my cable package just so I can keep up with MLW.
Nice. That sounds good, because that was definitely a good product. Like, the way they portrayed it with the white mat, the white ropes, and I'm just bringing that up because it pops better on TV because the light reflects off of it instead of getting absorbed into the darker colors. Like, ROH's production just looks shoddy. It looks worse than ECW back in the 90s, and just everything about it was interesting. And yes, I like the fact that even though they were pushing the show as more of a sports, like a athletic kind of competition, like we were talking about before, that we liked about WCW and what we like about New Japan, at least with the Luchador match with Phoenix and Pentagon, they played with the crowd a lot. Like, you had Pentagon take the some guy's hat off in the crowd and do a couple moves to Phoenix, and then they literally did a Hurricanrana into chairs, which, it made the move look sloppy, but the point is, they interact a lot with the crowd, and the crowd gets to kind of be part of the show. With, I don't know if that's just a Pentagon and Phoenix thing and they wanted to do that, or if that's going to become like an MLW thing where they play with the crowd along with wrestling the match. But it was an interesting aspect to see, because you normally don't see that on TV, at least. You could see that if you're watching like Wrestle Circus or House of Hardcore on Twitch, but you normally see a dividing line with the barrier, the barricade, whatever you want, and the crowd doesn't get involved unless it's a big high spot and somebody flies over the barricade. You know what I mean?
Well, for better or worse, in 2018, that's where we are now. The crowd is part of the show. And that's just kind of what it is at this point. Like, so you might as well steer into the skid and incorporate that into your product. But just to wrap up, not only do they have Court Bauer in MSL, they also have Alex Greenfield, which is he's a former head writer of SmackDown. They've got Robert Karpeles, who is also a former WWE writer. And I even think Uncle Bruce Pritchard is contributing to that product as well. So they've got a lot of bright minds from all spectrums of the wrestling business going into this product. And the difference between them and TNA, NWA, or not NWA, TNA, Southwest Airlines, whatever you want to call it, Impact Wrestling, whatever you want to. The difference between the two is that they don't have 15 years of baggage. They're kind of starting fresh. They might not necessarily have that star power up front, but they don't have the same baggage that TNA has into it. So I'm just excited about MLW's future. I really think that they are positioned to be a viable number two. I've said this not just on this show, but I'm on record saying this on the Flagship Chair Shot show as well. So I'm all in when it comes into MLW and whatever they do.
No argument there.
So I guess it's time for a commercial. So we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Thanks, everybody.
The intensity reaches a fever pitch as worlds collide. Oh, first up, former teammates square off for the first time. Hiroshi Tanahashi battles Juice Robinson. Then, Zack Sabre Jr. faces Sonata in the New Japan Cup semifinals.
You can't last much longer with this kind of punishment.
Jim Ross and Josh Barnett have the call.
Oh!
All new New Japan Pro Wrestling, Friday on Access TV.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Time to play the game.
Number five, at the greatest Royal Rumble, we will see John Cena versus Triple H.
So, I guess this is part of the whole greatest Royal Rumble thing. How do you feel about this special attraction match?
First and foremost, just the idea of being able to watch wrestling at 12 noon on a Friday. I'm marking out over that. I really am. I am so excited. I've been trying to plan my menu for the last 2 weeks, and I still don't know what I'm going to eat, but that's how excited I am about this whole thing. As far as Cena and Triple H, I don't see how they can put on a bad match. They're two of the greatest of all time in ring, and it's going to be a good match, and it's a good attraction. And from top to bottom, this card is WrestleMania worthy, and now I know why. We talked about it a little bit earlier. WWE, according to TheChairShot.com, which is where you need to go to get all your latest news, reviews, analysis with attitude about the professional wrestling business, they're going to make somewhere between, what 100 and 150 million just off the show, not including merchandise and ticket sales and all of that. Is that correct?
I think the number I saw in the article was between 100 and 200, but same difference. Like,
yeah. Either way, they're leaving with the bag. But from top to bottom, this looks like a WrestleMania caliber card, and Triple H and John Cena is going to be a great match. I'm looking forward to the entire card. Shinsuke and AJ, maybe they can have a good match this time. Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns in the cage, that's going to be cool. The tag matches are going to be cool. The 50-man Royal Rumble with all the people that are announced, and I'm sure they're going to have some surprises in there as well. I'm just looking forward to this event overall, man. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I agree. Like, I'm a little torn because, as everybody should know by now, we do the Chair Shot official picks with a bunch of the personalities. So I'm a little torn on if I feel like this is a house show or if it's supposed to be treated like a pay-per-view. Because, you know, that makes a difference on how people pick. Because house shows are usually just there for spectacle and not necessarily for title changes. But a pay-per-view tends to carry a little more weight. So What do we get here? Because you know they want to mix it up a little bit because it's a new market. It's something they've invested in for the next 10 years, apparently. So they obviously don't want to give them nothing fun, like, you know, no title changes or nothing surprising or random. So where do you think this lies in the spectrum of pay-per-view event and house show?
You know, Balls, as much as I hate to put you over, I have to put you over here. That's a really good question because I, too, am struggling with that. Because off the top of my head, I'm looking at it as a glorified house show, which means it's going to be very face-centric. But on the other hand, there's a few matches in here where it doesn't necessarily make sense for the faces to win. Like, for example, like, you just put the titles on the Bludgeon Brothers a couple of weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. What sense does it make to have the Usos or the New Day beat them now and get the titles? Or even the Shinsuke AJ thing, like, you know, conventional booking, seeing as how Shinsuke went over on SmackDown this week, conventional booking would lead you to believe that AJ is going to win in their match. But you don't know, like, is AJ just going to hit him in the balls? And, you know, and we talked about this earlier, AJ hits him in the balls, he gets disqualified, and then they have their blow off at Backlash. But I don't know. I don't know how much of a concern it is to put on a good show. Like, on paper, it's a good show. So I, once they get the bag in terms of storyline development, I don't know how much they're going to go with that. I'm leaning towards the house show thing just because I'm leaning towards the house show thing. Like, it's a glorified $100 million house show.
I can agree with that assessment, especially since you're coming 3 weeks off of Mania and 2 weeks before Backlash. So if you basically have a pay-per-view every couple weeks, you can't build a story for that. You can't build any kind of suspense. So this can't be pay-per-view level of, I guess, title changes and just mixing it up, because then what does that do to Backlash? Wouldn't that water everything down on Backlash if you had all of these exciting things happen at Greatest Royal Rumble, and then now we're just supposed to take Backlash as the canon storyline, and we're just going to follow that from where it is? Like, does that not, like, just cut that off at the knees?
Not necessarily, because the name of the pay-per-view is Backlash. So, you know, theoretically, it's the Backlash from Mania, but it could also be the Backlash from the Greatest Royal Rumble. So whatever happens at the Greatest Royal Rumble, we can have our rematches at Backlash. You understand what I'm saying?
I do get what you're saying there, but that also just seems redundant because we've already got a whole bunch of WrestleMania rematches. Like, you brought it up yourself, like the whole Usos versus the Bludgeon Brothers thing. That makes no sense for the Usos to win when the Usos could not beat the Bludgeon Brothers with an entirely separate team. And this, there's no gimmick to this. There's no weapons. And unless they're going to have Naomi come down and do her little, like, you know, glowy little shaker booty kind of whatever, striptease dance, whatever that was to distract them on SmackDown.
I'm not mad at that.
Mad at either, especially the way that the camera guy had that perfect angle as she was shaking it and throwing it towards Rowan and Harper and just confusing the shit out of them. Like, they looked like they'd never seen a woman before. Like, it was fantastic.
No. And she's a May Yay Yay Yazing. She's a May Yay Yay Yang. I'm on not the ground. Okay, I'm done.
I know what you were doing, but she is gorgeous. She is a fine specimen.
Yes.
And
I'm going to put black people over again, balls. Cover your ears.
Oh, no. But I just did it, too. Oh, God. Oh, no. This is too much. We can't end the show like this.
No. We can.
We need somebody to talk about Japan or hit somebody in the balls. Like, this is how we have to end the show. Oh, wait, no. I'm balls. I don't want to get hit. So never mind. We're not hitting me. So, whatever. Anyway, the point I was getting at for the Usos and the Bludgeon Brothers is, you're right, they just put the titles on the Bludgeon Brothers, and the Usos already had help. What sense does it make for them to win this match?
So, did they not insert New Day into that match? Am I tripping?
I don't think they did, unless I missed something on SmackDown. Mr. Moderator, did they insert New Day into the match, and I'm just drunk and don't remember?
Okay, fair enough. They didn't. I'm clearly drunk and didn't remember. Or I was drunk at the time that I thought New Day was inserted into this match. That's what happened. That's fair. It happens.
That's a good excuse. I was drunk at the time. When are you so? I was drunk at the time. I don't know.
When am I sober? That's a good question. Between the hours of midnight and 7:30, because that's when I'm asleep.
Right, but you're not sober right away when you go to sleep, though. So it's probably like the tail.
That's fair.
Isn't it a Rodney Dangerfield joke where it's like, drinking problem? I didn't know I had a drinking problem until he came into work sober.
Shout out to Rodney Dangerfield, by the way.
I get no respect.
Yeah.
My wife said we needed to talk more after sex, so I called her on the telephone.
So I agree with you, to bring it back to where we were talking about before. I agree that it's probably going to be a glorified house show, but Okay, the one question that everybody's playing with, which I'm not asking for your pick. I'm just kind of asking for your initial gut reaction right now. It can change by the time you put picks in officially. But do you think this is the grand scheme of Vince McMahon for Roman to be cheered when he finally wins the Universal title over Brock? Because we all know he's pretty popular in that area of the world. So do you think that's where this is going?
I think, and I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on for a minute, I think WrestleMania really didn't matter this year because he knew he was going to get 70, 80,000 people in that stadium regardless because it's WrestleMania. I think this is actually their WrestleMania. I think that this was more important on the docket than WrestleMania. And I do think that this is where Roman goes over. There's a little bit of that because he's more than likely going to get cheered in this market. But also, I feel as if they're looking at this show as if it's their WrestleMania just because of all the stops they pulled out. I mean, Chris Jericho's going to be there. Rey Mysterio allegedly is going to be there. We've got Undertaker in a casket match. Like, we've got Triple H and John Cena. That was a WrestleMania main event along, you know, once upon a time. Mm-hmm. So I think that's how they're looking at this. This was the WrestleMania of this year. And can you really blame them? I mean, they're making anywhere from $100 to $200 million before we factor in gain in revenue and all the subscriptions that they might pick up while they're over there. So, yes. So I'm going to say yes, that is a factor in their booking or in their decision. But also, I think they're looking at this as the big show as opposed to WrestleMania.
Impromptu question, over under on the length of Rusev versus Undertaker in the casket match.
I say under 10 minutes.
That's right where I was going to. So I guess just to be different, I'll say over 10 minutes, but probably not by much because I was thinking it'd be about a 10-minute match myself.
Yeah, and the casket match, it you can have a lot of smoke and mirrors. You can have a lot of goo-goo ga-ga. Undertaker doesn't have to take a whole lot of bumps. It's going to be a lot of kicking, a lot of punching. And Rusev's like Cena. He's a big, strong guy. So if Undertaker is struggling to lift him or whatever, Rusev. Yeah, Rusev will be able to compensate for, you know, whatever the Undertaker is lacking. And Rusev is also completely over. So, and people are just going to be happy to see the Undertaker, just like we were at WrestleMania. So, yeah, I say no more than 10 minutes.
Now, impromptu question, what's more over, Rusev Day? Or you think Rusev Day is good, but you think Russo Day, bro, would that be more over?
Nah.
Oh, what about you, Mr. Moderator? You think Russo Day?
Maybe in your neck of the woods, but, you know, for the rest of us, no. No.
I think the moderator likes Russo Day, though. Mr. Bologna Sandwich himself approves, too.
Well, I mean, they're bringing the Jersey Shore back, so maybe he can book a Snooki versus J-Wow with a situation on a pole match or something like that. You know, or a gym tan and laundry match. I don't even know what that would mean, but you have to stuff your opponent in one of them laundry mat things. Yeah.
And then put him through a spray tanner. That's amazing. I love this now. Well, that's what we need. We need the greatest Jersey Rumble ever. That's what we need next. And it's going to be the gym tan laundry main event right there. Oh, so good. So good. And wait, who the hell was the chick on the first season of Jersey Shore that was like from Staten Island and they referred to her as a Staten Island?
Angela.
Oh, Angela. Angelina. Yeah, she was the heel. Yeah, Angelina. Because they tried to bring her back and yeah, she ended up leaving early because she just, yeah, nobody else was cool with her.
But yeah. Now, that's where the money's at. You bring her back against like J-Wow or Snooki or somebody like that. I think that's a good grudge match. You could get a first blood match out of that or something.
Nice. So nice. Well, I think we've done enough damage this evening.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
So Balls, why don't you let the good folks know where they can find you? Oh, before you let them know where they can find you, be sure to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your official chair shot swag, ladies and gentlemen. Be one of the cool kids for the first time in your lives. Be a cool kid.
You got it.
Always use your head.
I'm proud of you.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Amber is very over in this Pot is War episode. She really is. She really is.
I feel like the moderator is really trying to make a point here because he keeps using her over and over and over again. You might have some competition.
You know what, though? To be honest, like, it is Beauty and the Beast, and she's the beauty. Like, she's over in real life as well. Like, you can't not love her if you meet her. That's just kind of what this is. I'm the... and she's the...
What was that?
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
Yes, oh,
God. Well, we are all too drunk and or tired. The show has gone on too long. So if there is anybody...
There no.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
No.
As he extends the show, right? Unnecessarily.
So if there's anybody who's actually not just part of the Chair Shot family that's just listening to this out of sheer train wreckness or because they've got nothing better to listen to, proud of you. Consider yourself lucky.
Thank you, by the way.
Yeah, thank you also. Thank you. Thank you very much. And you can find me on the Twitter at IWC War Chief. Yeah, that's my handle. That's right. I'm not that drunk. I still remember that one. And if you're listening still, let me know. Let me know exactly who decided to stick along with this train wreck for a while. And email me at AndrewBelez@TheChairShot.com. Platt, you want to do your plugs?
You can find me on Twitter at The Real C Platt, and make sure you guys keep up with the latest, greatest, and up-to-date is in the wild, wonderful, wacky world of professional wrestling at TheChairShot.com. Again, always use your head. And use your head, make sure you go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick up your official Chair Shot swag, ladies and gentlemen. Go get you a shirt, man. Be a cool kid. Be a cool kid. Be a cool kid. We got shirts for the ladies too, man. Shout out to the 44%. Be a cool kid. Be a cool kid. Be a cool kid. PC, where can they find you? Be a cool kid.
At PC, Tony.
Cool. All right. So, again, man, make sure you go to Pro...
and at Chair Shot Radio.
And Chair Shot Radio, yes. And go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick up your official Chair Shot t-shirts, man. Get your Chair Shot swag. Be part of the movement. It's more than a website, ladies and gentlemen. It is a movement. Why? Because you're smarter than the average wrestling fan. Anywho, we've kept you long enough. For Andrew Belaz Balls, for PC Tunney, the commish, I'm Christopher Platt. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, we'll see you. Shalom. Hit it, Carly. It is.
Power, if you hear me.
Nice.
Big bad booty daddy.
Nice. Roll up a fatty for this pimp daddy.
All the freaks.
Oh, shit. Have you guys seen on YouTube? It's like a half hour of Scott Steiner promos.
I've probably seen most of them, yes. I don't know if I've seen exactly what you're talking about, but I'm pretty sure I know the promos.
If you got a half hour to kill, man, and I highly recommend it. It's fucking hilarious.
Oh, well, between his TNA one from a couple weeks ago, Impact, whatever you want to call it, with him and Conan, and then he did a... He did Steiner Meth 2.0 basically at Redemption with Petey Williams.
And it was fucking hilarious. Like, so his promos are so train wrecky, but so good.
And it's believable because he looks like he could beat somebody's ass. Plus, he's crazy as cat shit. So it's just like it all plays in well together.
Not so much anymore, which is why Conan really got the best of him. Well, because he came out in like the white beater or tank top kind of looking thing, and he just looks old, so he's not as imposing as he used to be.
So he's still flabby.
A little bit, but he's not showing it off because he's got the t-shirt on. And Conan had the one line where he basically said, "I don't know how much anger, I don't know how much fire you have, but he's like, I don't think you got shit because you don't look like you can tear up a chicken at a luau." And I'm just like,
nice.
Oh.
Nice.
Crap. I'm like, that's such a good line.
Nice.